This is Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home on KRDO News Radio 105.5 FM, 1240 AM and 92.5 FM. Here is your host, Greg Koopman.
Good morning and welcome to Senior Talk, presented by Heartfelt Care at Home, right here and only on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. I'm Greg Koopman, your host for Senior Talk, founder and owner of Heartfelt Care at Home, Colorado Springs' most trusted senior in-home care provider. Be sure to visit us online today at heartfeltcareathome.com. Joining us in the studio this morning, our friend Jim Vermeer, owner of Senior Living Decisions, a senior living placement service right here in Colorado Springs. Jim, thank you so much for taking the time to join us this morning. Welcome to Senior Talk.
Thank you, Greg. Good to see you.
We've got a lot of information to cover. I want to give you the opportunity to share with our listeners a little bit about your background and really what led you to doing what it is you do today with Senior Living Decisions.
Sure. Senior Living Decisions is a service, and I'm an advisor helping seniors who are at that point looking to make a move into a living situation with more care, more assistance, independent living, assisted living, memory care. And so I came into this industry from 8 years of regional administrator for Encompass Home Health. I've been 20 years in the community, but working with seniors, working with a population that needs some help, needs some assistance. So I've worked with a wide range of people. It started really with care for my mother, and more recently, my mother-in-law in another state. But just seeing that progression to where the right kind of situation can help them thrive, can help a senior find that place where they really hit their stride.
Fantastic. And I've known you for many, many years from your home health days. How do you find that experience plays into your current role with helping seniors and their families navigate a very wide variety of options that are out there?
I do what I do because of what I learned in home health and my personal experiences. In general, though, I loved mentoring staff. I've been a leader. I've hired a lot of staff. I've worked with people, really a kind of a counseling role. And there's nothing more rewarding to me than having someone sitting there with me, helping them figure out what their next step is. That's really what drives me. And so that's the caregiving aspect of home health prepared and just flowed into the senior placement that I do today.
It seems like a really good transition into what you do today. And you mentioned, you know, Senior Living Decisions is a placement service or, basically a counseling, you know, role that you're in to help families and seniors kind of explore those different options. Take some time here. Walk our listeners through the process of working with you in Senior Living Decisions. You know, what happens when I pick up the phone and give you a call?
Sure. Well, and first off, Greg, all it does take is a phone call or sometimes an email. It doesn't take a physician order like home health. There's no referral needed. And that's why that connection just starts with me then sitting down. I like to sit down in person, but sometimes it's a lot of over the phone or texts and emails. Just sorting through where a person is at, where a senior couple is at, and what their needs are. And from there, then we talk about a lot of options, not just senior living. Sometimes I talk myself out of a placement because that family is not aware of the home care and the home health or the home modifications. So we look at a lot of resources that can help besides a move necessarily. But if we're headed that direction, then I give information. I help them decipher the different care levels and living situations. And I help them then even schedule and coordinate tours, which really just means meeting the staff and seeing the activities and getting a feel for that community.
Well, and I imagine, you know, your knowledge of that process allows the opportunity to help guide them with the right questions, make sure those questions are getting asked, and making sure they're comfortable with the process.
Right. How would you shop for a car, Greg, if you'd never owned a car or never had a driver's license before, and someone said, okay, you can drive, go get a car?
Yeah, you wouldn't know where to start.
Yeah. We haven't lived in senior living before, so if we haven't worked in that and been connected, it's a kind of a scary place to start.
Well, it makes a lot of sense to obviously go to someone with the knowledge to explore those different opportunities. I want to give the opportunity several times throughout today's program to get our listeners your phone number, maybe website address where they can learn more about you and, most importantly, get in contact with you to just start the process of exploring these options.
Sure. Yeah, the first thing is just phone number, 719-629-9224. And I answer that because I am the owner and I'm the advisor. So a phone call, if you prefer an email, you know, I get emails from all over the country with families being so spread out these days. And that's just start at seniorlivingdecisions.com.
Fantastic. And that's seniorlivingdecisions.com is exactly. The best website address as well.
Yes, it is.
So, you know, over the years that I've been doing this, about 16 years, we see these websites pop up from time to time. You know, I call them leads websites, or probably the last place anybody would really want to enter their email address or phone number due to the amount of calls and emails that you end up getting when you do that. But how does your service and your model really compare to maybe visiting one of those online sites that promises somewhat similar type of guidance?
Yeah, and technology is great, but, you know, search engine optimization and all these things that control what we see when we do a Google search. Earlier this year, I Googled an assisted living community. I knew the name of the community. I wanted to find their website. I had to go to the third page of search results to find that community's actual webpage. So, yeah, it can be daunting. We think we know what we're searching for and the terms we're searching for, and we come up with some kind of strange things. But the difference is I'm a local advisor. So you're right, Greg. You have to be careful where you share your information these days. Sometimes sharing your email address can result in your information going to 20 different communities.
And it's amazing how each of those 20 communities ends up bombarding you with phone calls because they're obviously in sales.
Make
the sale.
Yes, and you can have phone calls for months afterwards. You know, that it's like once you get in that system, there's kind of no end to it.
So, visiting the different communities here in town, do you regularly visit? There's different communities here in the Colorado Springs area. And is it important for you, the advisor, the guide, to visit these communities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I say, even when I talk to social workers and discharge planners in the skilled nursing and rehab and hospitals, I say, you're not able to get out there in the community. You can make referrals and you know a lot about the community, but my job every day, day in, day out, is to be in the communities and be working in this industry, staying up with who is who. Visiting is important. Knowing the staff is even more important. And that comes at the communities. It comes at the other events. It comes at the Senior Resource Council get-togethers. It comes at an open house where you meet your counterparts and you meet physicians here and you meet all health professions and you keep up with who is who, who's moving, Who's strengths, who's starting a new program, what communities are, what's the flavor of that community?
Well, yeah. Being knowledgeable makes a lot of sense, and that's one thing that I do commend you on is you're present in the community, and not just the senior living side of it, but all senior services and senior resources here in the Colorado Springs area. And like you said, sometimes you talk yourself out of that placement, because maybe it's not the right time, or maybe home care services. What I like about home care is, oftentimes as you're making that transition into senior living, you're exploring senior living because you need help. So what do you do in that gap between when you're realizing you need help and you make that final decision on where you'd want to move? And that's where, being knowledgeable of those different resources and working with families makes a heck of a lot of sense. Jim Vermeer, owner, advisor of Senior Living Decisions, local placement agency for senior living options here in the Colorado Springs area. Jim, glad to have you on the show here this morning.
Well, thanks. This is fun, Greg. I'm having fun.
See, you didn't know that you were a radio pro until you try it, and we'll just keep having you back, and that way I won't have to search for new guests.
Maybe I'll catch up with you, Greg.
It's been about 6.5 years here on KRDO, so it's been a long while. We're diving into the realm of senior housing, senior living here in Colorado Springs. I want to take some time to really hone in on the different types of senior living options that there are. to really educate our listeners and make sure that they're thinking the right type of senior living for the scenario that applies best to them. First and foremost, we hear typically independent living or retirement living. What is this?
Well, independent living is a term that's probably the most confused or dual meaning. But independent living mostly means a place where seniors live in a community. So it's a similar population, but there's some services added. So it's not just an apartment. And those services are usually a mix of a dining room and meals, an all-inclusive price, typical where food, you know, the dining experience, one, two, or three meals a day are included. But there's also activities. So I see seniors in independent living really come into a, you know, they can choose their social involvement, but the activities and things often, especially with home care, you know, you can come in, Greg, with your caregivers, and often that's the last move that a senior or a couple, senior couple needs to make.
That's the beautiful part of it, is you can augment those services and stay. Once you make that move to an independent living that's the best fit for you, you can stay in independent living and you don't have to keep moving. So, I mean, who would be most appropriate for maybe exploring the options or moving to an independent living scenario?
Well, it's a senior or a couple where living independently, and again, there's a word independent has different meanings.
Absolutely.
Living in their standalone home, maybe they're becoming a little isolated. You know, you see situations where the social event of the week, the social interaction, is the home health or home care caregivers coming to the home. So that's a situation where they're getting isolated. They're maybe not safe in those times when home health or home care isn't in there. And maybe the driving is becoming more difficult and not feeling safe doing that. So independent living, like I said, it opens up their world again. And now someone who needs assistance with what we call activities of daily living on a continual basis, like if they need help getting out of bed in the morning and then with toileting and bathing, sometimes if we've gone beyond what home care can do in those blocks of time, you know, you can even get up to 24-hour home care.
Wow.
That might be a point, though, where assisted living, where there is that help right outside the door, they do come into the unit in assisted living.
And that was my next question, is, you know, what is assisted living? You know, how do we know when, you know, you start to explore that higher level of care?
Right. It is basically everything in independent living, like transportation. But now we're adding in assisted living, caregivers actually come into the unit. They help manage medications. They help with bathing. And that can be in the unit, or that can be the spa tub, the walk-in tub, which is popular these days. Have you been in one, Greg?
I have not. I don't fit in one.
we could find one big enough for you. But assisted living adds, even if someone needs help getting from their unit to the dining room, needs help handling their meal, getting set up for the meal, getting back to their room, that's where assisted living provides someone there 24/7.
Maybe bathing or dressing or medication assistance, things like that.
Yes.
And then, you know, we get to that skilled nursing capacity, what I call a nursing home.
Right.
Could be the old school, where we don't see a lot of those anymore, but the old school ones where you probably wouldn't want to explore, but there's been a lot of upgrades. But, I mean, what is this skilled nursing side of it? When is that appropriate?
Right, and you use the term nursing home. That's probably the second most misunderstood term. Often we use nursing home to mean any senior retirement community. Technically, nursing home is where there is a need for nursing. So skilled nursing has clinical care, has a nurse on site 24/7, and they provide care. So where there's a consistent medical need, where skilled nursing is necessary. So the skilled nursing, we'll get to long-term care, I think, is kind of the next transition.
Right.
In skilled nursing, that's usually short-term.
Okay.
And now we're into the part that's paid by health insurance,
okay,
Medicare, medical needs. Typically, that's on a short-term basis, like a three-week period. And then there's specialty in rehab, which is a subcategory of skilled nursing. But the key here is there's some medical need where a clinician, a nurse, and therapies are providing care in that community. Now, the long-term care is right. when that is no longer just a short-term need. Now, that is no longer then typically paid by health insurance. Right. Then we get into private pay and long-term care insurance.
So maybe, you know, following a stroke, or if you're confined to a wheelchair, or, you know, quadriplegic, things like that where you have to have constant medical oversight right. and involvement would be that nursing home type setting.
Right. Or maybe getting
long-term care.
Right. Long-term care nursing to where probably bedbound, could be bedbound, but yeah, everything, pressure ulcers are a common reason. They're spending most of their day in a single position, but they need help with moving and turning and trying to prevent those pressure ulcers, a wound that's infected. You know, in the home, you can do infusions and do so much anymore, but when they don't have the support and they're not safe at home to get the medical care there, that's where long-term care nursing fits.
The last senior living, you know, environment or setting that I want to touch on briefly here is what I've seen in a drastic increase of offerings in this category is memory care. You know, when you have memory and cognitive impairment, Alzheimer's disease or another dementia, there is specific options for memory impairment and cognitive impairment.
Right. And it's memory care is a subcategory of assisted living, but they have an additional level of regulation by the state and licensure. But memory care is when, okay, we've got cognitive issues, some diagnosis, dementia, can be Alzheimer's, Lewy body disease, many diagnoses that limit the cognitive functional ability of that individual. And so this is a separate, sometimes they are standalone. Memory care, this community is just memory care. Other times it's a subset physically of that building, that assisted living building. You have specialized care programs, staff that's trained in working with and helping those people function as normally and as independently as possible.
And I imagine that's a huge asset for these communities to have that extra training, really that specialty focused specifically on that segment of the population that they're serving.
It is. Now, it doesn't mean that, especially in assisted living, it doesn't mean that because there's a diagnosis of dementia that they immediately need to move into the memory care unit.
Right.
In assisted living anymore, the staff can do amazing things.
Fantastic. Now, have you seen an increase for that level of care with memory and cognitive impairment? It seems to be that's the focus where a lot of senior living companies are building or expanding their operations.
Absolutely. Yeah, huge increase. You know, all the reasons, you know, and Jody Barker at the Alzheimer's Association, of course, can speak much more eloquently on all the advancements. But, you know, living longer. Our body, we can nurse it along longer, and that means sometimes it's as simple as the cognitive piece suffers.
The older we get, the more likely we are to develop Alzheimer's or another form of dementia. Once you hit the age of 80, I think the statistic is 1 in 2. So 50% of seniors 80 or older have Alzheimer's or another form of dementia, which explains, you know, the rapidly aging of our population. It makes sense that the older we get, the more likely we're going to develop memory and cognitive impairment.
Right. And we've learned so much, you know, pick a time period in the last 5 years, 10 years,
sure.
20 years, so that, yes, we've developed special programs and things that stimulate our thinking and help us manage that disease that we didn't know 10, 20 years ago.
Fantastic. Jim Vermeer, owner of Senior Living Decisions. Jim, I want to make sure that we get your number out again, phone number, website address for our listeners exploring or beginning to explore the different senior living options or if making a move to senior living is appropriate for them.
Sure. To reach me, it's simply a phone call, 719-629-9224. And if you want to see some background information, get connected through my website, SeniorLivingDecisions.com.
Fantastic. I appreciate your accessibility, the fact that you're local, the fact that you're an owner who answers the phone. I can relate to that service and personal touch as well. So it's refreshing to see that with other local companies as well serving our senior population. We, of course, you know, have talked about the different types of senior living that is available. You know, what What type of scenarios might trigger a move for a senior or a senior couple to start looking at senior living to see if it's right for them?
Sometimes it is an exacerbation of a medical condition or a fall or something that's just taken away some of the safety and the security and feeling like, okay, this is working. Sometimes it's a family getting together. You know, oftentimes we see after the first of the year, families have gotten together and they've realized mom and dad or mom or dad and just are struggling a little more. And we have some safety concerns. Probably safety is the biggest word, the thing that says we need to look at some more involved options.
Absolutely. We touched on it briefly, but it's something that a lot of people don't consider as we continue to age, and that's, you know, long-term care, home care, senior living. How is this stuff paid for typically?
Well, we do get into, like we said, independent living, assisted living, memory care. We're now into living situations, not health care. So Medicare does not reimburse, or whatever the health insurer is, does not reimburse for these living needs. Now, when you get into the skilled care, like we said, their Medicare and the health insurer can be on a short-term basis. So it comes down to things like, is the senior a veteran or the spouse of a veteran? Because then we have some options. There's basically two different programs. Sometimes long-term care insurance is something that they have paid for, and both in home care and in community living, that long-term care insurance can be part of the payer source. Beyond that, it's private pay, but there are things to plan for, like what kind of community. You know, independent living can be a solution for a long time. That doesn't mean necessarily progressing to assisted living.
Well, that's the good part, especially with independent living. But oftentimes, you know, these costs associated with making that transition to, you know, a senior living environment, oftentimes they can be comparable to staying in your own home, or renting a traditional apartment based on, you know, the utilities, the food, the meals, the
right.
activities, the exercise.
Right.
It can really be pretty comparable to what you're currently spending.
Right. But the scenarios are so different, Greg. The personalities, the lifestyle, the support network, not just family, neighbors, you know, there's no threshold that we can say where when you get to so many hours of home care a week, the cost is now that this category is going to be more effective.
Well, and every community has a different flavor, different culture as well, and that's part of your process in exploring not only, you know, the financial side of what, an individual might be able to afford, but really diving into that personality side and what they're looking for in a living environment, but in life. One thing we haven't touched on is your services are free to seniors and their families.
Absolutely.
You don't charge
Absolutely.
A senior or their family to go out and meet with them.
That is correct. And I say I have two main jobs, my two tasks. The first task is to help assure seniors and families that there is no cost to my services. And that's kind of that's a win-win. The communities are glad to have the assistance in bringing the well-qualified lead, if you will, someone who knows what they're looking for and has my assistance, and the family wins because they spend less time, less stress. They avoid the frustration of calling this community and they're Medicaid certified or they're not Medicaid certified, or they provide this service or they don't provide that service. So that's, yeah, it's a win-win. The communities I work closely with so that they have a good connection.
Fantastic. You've done senior service, senior work for quite some time. How have you seen senior living change over the years?
Well, I didn't get to my second task of two tasks. Thank you, Greg. You're very intuitive.
Well, some days I pretend to be.
The second task is dispelling some of the myths of what senior living, retirement living used to be, nursing home used to be. It's a product of increasing regulations, which, you know, we complain about the interference of regulations, speed limits, or whatever it is, but that has raised the bar in communities. The other part that raises the bar is just the customer satisfaction world we live in today. You know, the freedom of feedback and communication, so that you know we can know where there's good customer service or not good customer service.
And I can attest to that, being a product of growing up in senior care. My mother was a social worker and in a nursing home. Remembering what those traditional nursing homes were like in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
Places you'd see on Dateline in 2020. And that's not the case these days. And
right.
That's good to see that change. We, of course, are running very short on time. It always happens here, which just gives us an excuse to have you back. Can you give our listeners one piece of advice who may be starting to explore the possibility and options of senior living? What piece of advice can you give them?
Start conversations, you know, between a husband and wife, with the children, with your physician, with me. Just start the conversation. I had a phone call 45 minutes ago before we walked in here, just starting to think, well, what if mom is not safe to come back to her current living situation after this hip fracture? Now, that doesn't mean that they have to make a change now. My interaction is often months long or even a year or 2 years long. So just start having conversations. That's why I'm here. That's where your care support network should be. So just have that conversation sooner rather than later. It doesn't mean you have to do anything today, but learn about that. It takes patience and it takes an open mind to say, maybe something needs to change.
Start the conversation.
Let me understand. Right.
Excellent. Jim, I can't thank you enough for joining us here this morning. Before we go, I want you to share with our listeners one last time, how can they get in touch with you to maybe set a time to grab a cup of coffee and learn a little bit more or find out more about senior living decisions?
A phone call to 719-629-9224, an email to start@seniorlivingdecisions.com. Or my website, contact form there, seniorlivingdecisions.com.
Jim Vermeer, owner of Senior Living Decisions, thank you again for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Greg. My pleasure.
Before we go, I want to remind listeners one more time that you can find out more information about Heartfelt Care at Home online at heartfeltcareathome.com or by giving us a call at 719-362-0094. Again, that's 719-362-0094. Be sure to join us next Sunday and every Sunday at 8 a.m. right here and only on KRDO News Radio, 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, 92.5 FM for another edition of Senior Talk presented by Heartfelt Care at Home.